Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Recently, we just completed a two-part series on men preparing for marriage, and now we're going to do, hopefully, a two-part series on women preparing for marriage. And in this particular series, we're going to concentrate on spiritual and practical things, like we did with the men, that should help you in preparation for marriage. Unfortunately, today, it seems like more people are concerned with finding their spouse. And then, you know, once they think they've completed that, they're real concerned about the wedding plans, the invitations, the registry, the photographer, the flowers, and all those details. And they'll spend a year sometimes making all those preparations and never consider how important it is just to prepare themselves, their heart, their mind, their soul, their spirit for a husband and a life of being together. So hopefully by going through some scriptures with you, your attention will be more on preparing yourself than, you know, preparing the church or preparing the reception hall or whatever your intentions are when you start thinking about marriage and weddings. Now, as a young lady, when you are preparing for marriage, and let me just say this, if you're already married, you don't have to turn this off, because there are a lot of things that you're going to hear that come from the Bible that will help you now, even if you are already married, as long as you will incorporate these into your life and let these things change you. You're going to find that you'll be, I believe, much happier in your marriage. So first thing, when you're preparing for marriage, you should develop virtuous qualities. Develop virtuous qualities. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And in Proverbs chapter 31, we find that passage of Scripture we commonly say is about the virtuous woman, because it starts out in verse 10 by saying, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Now notice, virtue is a spiritual quality, and it is something that comes as you grow in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Beside this, giving all diligence," watch it, "add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," and so forth. But notice, add to your faith virtue. So it's not enough to just say, "Well, I am a believer. I am saved." It's not enough to just say, "I am a Christian." That's not enough. You have to add to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to add virtue. See? Virtue. Now, in Proverbs chapter 31, since we're talking about the virtuous woman, we find some things that are characteristic, some qualities of her. Notice, she's trustworthy. In verse 11, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." So she's trustworthy, and she's not spoiled. By that, he doesn't have to buy her the finest vehicle, and the finest home, and the finest jewelry, and the finest of everything. She's satisfied with him, you see? And so she's trustworthy, which is a phenomenal characteristic, because you can't build a relationship unless you have trust, and she's not spoiled. Notice also that she's good. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is a truly good woman. That is a virtuous quality in her. She works willingly in verse 13, and you know, there are some ladies that would just say, "You know, I am not about to do whatever, housework or whatever the case may be. Now, there are other things here. She's very concerned for her household. She's not idle. She is very smart. She can buy a field and plant a vineyard. She can merchandise. She understands what good merchandise is, and she can make it. She's very careful with her children. So much goes on with her at the home that her husband is known in the gates in verse 23. And so this woman has some outstanding characteristics. In verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So tremendous, tremendous qualities in this woman. You know, that she didn't learn those by surfing the internet and by watching movies and by wanting to be entertained all the time. She learned those by adding to her faith virtue. And so you've got to do that. Add to your faith virtue. Develop virtuous qualities. Today, people will go to the internet and they will look at the movie stars and they'll look at the models and those kind of things. They will go and they'll read, you know, People magazine, and they'll see what the glitz and the glamour looks like. And then they'll go to the store and they'll buy those kind of clothes, and they'll go to the beauty shop and they'll wear that kind of hairdo, and they'll go to the mall and they'll buy that kind of makeup, and they'll pattern what they see. May I tell you something? None of those things pattern this virtuous woman that you see here in Proverbs chapter 31. So, you know, pattern yourself after her and not after the women of the world. Develop virtuous qualities. All right, as a young lady, if you are preparing for marriage, you should not only develop virtuous qualities, but you should fear the Lord. If you look in Proverbs chapter 31 at verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So what are you talking about here? We're talking about a woman who, above all, fears the Lord. And you know, we've taught on fear of the Lord before. The fear of the Lord is something that doesn't cause you to run around scared to death of Him all the time. It's a fear that draws you closer to Him, and one whereby you just know that you wouldn't disappoint Him. I mean, some of us, I guess we relate this fear of the Lord and love of God to our fathers, and many of us were raised by fathers whom we feared, but also whom we loved. We knew they loved us, but I'm telling you, we tread very carefully when it came to crossing Dad, because we knew His punishments, and we didn't want them. And so to fear the Lord is the highest quality of virtue that you can have above all, and you really ought to learn to fear Him. And you get that by spending time in the Bible. You really do. You get that by following what the Bible says. And the fear of the Lord, listen, is essential not only for marriage, but also for working out your own salvation. In other words, you're not saved just so you can get married. You're saved so that you can live a life that is pleasing to God. And Philippians chapter 2 tells you that that life involves the fear of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So a woman that fears the Lord is going to make a good wife. She really is. And the reason is that when you go through difficult situations, you are not going to bail out on the marriage because you fear God. You've made a commitment to God. God has put something together, and you're not going to put it asunder. I remember that when I was in the banking business and in a small town and president of the bank, you know, that was something that my wife really, really enjoyed. She was, you might say, in society. When I resigned the bank to go into the ministry, that all changed. And it was very difficult for her. And she'll tell you, if you were talking to her right now, she would tell you, you know, I stayed with my husband mainly because I feared the Lord. In other words, it was not an easy time. It was a trial. It was a very difficult time. And when I went off to Bible college, we had very little money. I was working all day and going to school at night. And we had just had our fourth child. And we had, you know, couldn't rub two nickels together. And it was very difficult. And it would have been very easier for her to say, you know what, I didn't get into this marriage to be in the ministry. I married a man who was in the banking business. And I intend to be in that kind of status. And she could easily have said, you know, see you later. But she didn't. And you know why she didn't? She feared the Lord. So if you want to really prepare yourself well for life and well for marriage, develop virtuous qualities, and above all in those qualities, fear the Lord. Because as you read here about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, you know, Solomon brings this passage to a conclusion and says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I just praised my wife because of her fear of God and for staying through a very, very, very difficult time in our marriage. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. And I'll tell you, it will keep you in your family. It will keep you in the proper relationship with your husband if you'll fear the Lord. And you go through difficult times, you can survive. You can really survive and thrive even in that. All right, here's the next thing. Women preparing for marriage. What should you do? Well, develop virtuous qualities, fear the Lord, and then this. Serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. The Bible says, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Let me read that again and notice, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. All right, when you serve the Lord as a young lady, as a single lady, do you know what you may find? You may find that you don't want to marry because you care for the things of the Lord and you don't want to divide your attention by having to care for the things of the world, how you may please your husband. We have a missionary, as a matter of fact, that we support in our church who's a young lady. And when she graduated from college, she went into nursing. And when she graduated from nursing school, she surrendered her life to serve the Lord on the mission field as a nurse in Africa, working for an established missionary and his family to be used of God to open ways for the gospel to get into villages that the missionary and his family could not get into. The tribal chiefs did not want somebody bringing a religion into their tribes, but they surely did want somebody who could provide them with medical aid. And so she would go in and really help them. And then the chiefs would say, you know what, we appreciate so much what you've done. We'd like to know more about your God. And God's using her. She is a single woman. She's a single woman. I'll tell you somebody else. Many years ago, I met a missionary, and her name was Rachel. And Rachel was born as a missionary's child in Africa. And then, as she grew, she felt that the Lord was calling her to Haiti, and she went to Haiti. And there established a ministry, of, if you can imagine, of raising the twin child of twins born to families. Those families there were superstitious and believed that if a woman had twins, one was of God and the other was of the devil, and they would kill one of the children. Well, she gained permission to raise, quote-unquote, the devil's child. Well, she led those children to the Lord and trained them in the ways of the Word of God. She had about 100 of them with her, and those wives were concerned because they thought, well, you know what? I ended up with the devil's child, and she ended up with God's child. And she explained, no, that's not the case, and gave them the gospel. And those mothers got saved. And then a missionary was called to that field and established a church. She already had, 100 people and their children ready for a missionary when he got there. I mean, the church plant was something that was very easy. So I'll tell you, the society we live in and the culture you're in and the people you hang around, they just say, you know, well, who are you going to marry? And do you have a boyfriend yet? And, where's your boyfriend live? And how come you don't go out on dates and all that stuff? And you're only 16, 17, 18 years old, you know. My goodness. And everybody just pushes you into that. Well, serve the Lord. You may find that, in fact, that you don't want to marry because you care for the things of the Lord and you want to be like Christine or you want to be like Rachel. And find that it's not necessary to be married at all, and are very content not to be. And you'll learn that if you serve the Lord at a young age, and find ways in the ministry of your church to be involved, and ways to serve the Lord. When you're preparing for marriage, you should develop virtuous qualities. Of course, if you're already married, you should develop those anyway. You should fear the Lord, certainly, if you're already married, or even more importantly now, if you're preparing for marriage, and you should serve the Lord. Here's the next thing. When you're preparing for marriage as a woman, you should develop a meek and quiet spirit. This is not easy. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you say, why did you say that it's not easy? Because the Lord said here that it is of great price. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 4. Here's a woman who's married. She's in subjection to her husband, but he's not in subjection to the Word of God. And she's trying to, quote, win him back to the Word of God. And she's not doing it by harping on him. She's not doing it by, enticing him. She's doing it by, verse 4, by letting it be the hidden man of the heart, that's Jesus Christ, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Women today, when they follow the example of movie stars, are anything but meek and quiet. And so, if you're going to develop this kind of spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price, that's why I say it must be difficult. Then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get with the Lord and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take control of your spirit and to take control of your mouth so that you can prayerfully approach the Lord whenever there is a difficulty in your relationship with your spouse, and not harp on him and not browbeat him and not fuss at him and not scream at him and not become angry and not cuss at him and all those other things that happen. The Bible says in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 3, they behold your chaste conversation. So the words are pure. The conversation not only affects the words that come out of your mouth, but your body language. That's conversation. And men that see a woman who has a meek and quiet spirit understand I am not dealing with somebody that is volatile, that is going to argue with me and harp on me and complain and murmur the whole way. And in order to be able to do that, if you want to really make yourself a good wife, you've got to develop a meek and quiet spirit. And just understand, apparently, that's a difficult thing to do because in the sight of God, it is of great price. But very important. A husband does not like to be browbeat, to be constantly listening to contention and murmuring and complaining. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman in a wide house. People just don't want to listen to it. So develop that type of spirit. You say, well, what if my husband's out of line? Then do what 1 Peter chapter 3 says. And let it be the hidden man of the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ can do what you cannot do. And I can tell you, you cannot turn him by harping on him. It just won't work. Women preparing for marriage not only should develop a meek and quiet spirit, but you know something else? You should mortify your members. Colossians chapter 3. You'll see when we get to Colossians chapter 3 what that means. Mortify your members. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What are they? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Much of the trouble among young people today is connected with the internet and cell phones. That's right. Texting and sexting and the stuff they do on the internet and the enticement, all of that has to do with these things that get in you, that affect your members that are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's sexual excess, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And the internet is filled with it. Listen, you go to an internet website, let's say a Bible concordance, and you go to that site looking to study your Bible. And on either side, on the side panels, you know what you're seeing? Advertising. And the advertising is there to help the people who own that website pay for it, because they're not charging you to go to their concordance and look. But you're subjected to all these images that are being portrayed up there, many of which are not appropriate for Christians. Of course, you don't know that. You look at that and just think, well, that's fine. I mean, nothing to it. But you know what? You're picking up things that are not good. Covetousness is that deep-seated desire to have something that you don't have, and to have something perhaps that God doesn't want you to have. Inordinate affection, I'm telling you that right now, I would say, is infatuation, among other things. And today what you're seeing is young women and young men who are infatuated with someone they have met in social networking or at school, texting and all that. And now what's happened is your heart is captivated by this young man, if you're a young lady, and you are smitten. And you are willing to go as far as he wants to go in your relationship, which could include fornication. And you pick that up through social media, through texting, through internet, through chats and things that are going on. And you're just like, wow, I just got to have all this. Or envy, because you're on there and you're seeing that other young ladies have already found a boyfriend. They have already found out what it is to have sex. They've already, you know, felt this quote-unquote love. I call it infatuation. And you're like, I got to have that. Covetousness, inordinate affection, envy. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verses 3 through 7. And really, really listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, Paul says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, watch it, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And you know what you're doing in your world of virtual reality? You are naming it continuously in texting and in Facebook posts and every other kind of thing. He goes on to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Did you see that? Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Well, the only way you can do that is to mortify your members. We say, well, what does that mean? You're going to have to cut back or cut out completely all that texting. You're going to have to cut out or cut back or whatever or that social media that is leading you into things and internet activity that are leading you into thoughts, into contemplations and cogitations, and into relations that are absolutely drawing you away from the Lord and getting you, I mean, so messed up before you ever get married. I have a preacher friend of mine, and he said the problem in a lot of marriages today among Christians is they have learned about sex from the world, not from the Bible, and it's messing up their marriages. Because they get to a place where they're not satisfied and they will go look outside of their marriage for you know, these kinds of things. And boy, I tell you, he said, it's just an absolute wreck. So you've got to mortify your members. You cannot believe everything that you're seeing on the internet. You cannot live in a world of virtual reality and expect that you're going to draw closer to God and really be ready for a relationship with a man in a marriage. So when you're preparing for marriage, develop virtuous qualities. You find those in Proverbs chapter 31, primarily. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Absolutely. It's good for your life and super for your marriage. Serve the Lord. Because you may find out, well, when you serve the Lord, you may find out that you're not ready for marriage, you're not cut out for marriage, or that you surely don't want to marry the fella that suddenly interested you because he's not interested in serving the Lord. Develop a meek and quiet spirit, which is obviously difficult because it's of great price in the sight of the Lord. And mortify your members. And the best way to do that is to stay away from companions who are talking all the time about things that are not appropriate for Christian young ladies. And stay off the internet and away from social media and all this texting, where your mind begins to imagine all the things that people talk about, so that you are set up for a downfall with a young man before you marry, and a loss of things that you would like to bring to your husband in marriage because you got ahead of the game, if you will. Now we're gonna do another broadcast on this, women preparing for marriage, and talk about some practical things that go along with these spiritual matters. But I pray you will seriously take these things to heart. They are of the greatest importance for you to have a happy marriage. May God bless you as you follow what the Bible says. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.